Hello, and welcome to the July 2018 edition of Volunteer Voices, the members-only podcast for the American Association for Museum Volunteers. I am Richard Harker, the president of AAMV and the director of programming and volunteers at the Historic Oakland Foundation at Historic Oakland Cemetery here in Atlanta, Georgia. And today I'm actually not joined by my co-host Anna Frew. She is out right now on vacation, but I am excited to be back with you with our latest edition of Volunteer Voices. And to let you know that, as always, the board of AAMV is working really hard to create just a lot of new members-only content to help our members as they approach their volunteer management work. In addition to our podcast, we have our members-only newsletter, we have our very active forum, and we're working on developing best practice documents for internships especially, which we know is such an important topic for our volunteer managers and volunteer management community. But if you are listening to us today, that means you are a member of AAMV, and we thank you so much for your support. We truly believe that our professional network is only as strong as our members, and so we thank you for your support, and we encourage you to engage on the forum and with the other members who are a part of AAMV. Back in February, you heard from Elisa Kasarin, who was talking about performance-based interviewing, and we're thrilled to be joined by her again today as she continues to talk about her work with volunteer management and how do you develop measures to best evaluate the impact of your volunteer program. So you're going to hear my conversation with Elisa today. Hey, Elisa, how are you today?
I'm great, Richard. How are you doing?
I am doing so well, and we're so happy to have you back on the podcast with us. For the sake of our listeners, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and some of your work?
Yes, absolutely. I am a volunteer engagement specialist, and what that means is I work with various kinds of nonprofits to help them strengthen their volunteer programs. And that looks like different things depending on who I'm working with. For one thing, I provide a lot of training directly to volunteer managers and leaders of volunteers on various volunteer management best practices. And sometimes those are hard skills. I know the last time we were chatting, Richard, we were talking about behavior-based interviewing, which is one of my favorite hard skills because it's easy to learn and it's incredibly effective. I also cover a lot of, I guess what you would call the soft skills. I love to work with volunteer managers around their influencing skills because I know that's such an issue for a lot of us, getting more buy-in from our decision-makers and our coworkers. So that's another thing I do. Sometimes I work directly with nonprofits to help them tighten up their systems and their practices. And so to circle back, I guess, to the buy-in question, running in tandem with helping us elevate our influencing skills and persuasion skills, there's a flip side to that, which is providing our decision makers with data that illustrates exactly how our volunteer programs are making a difference for clients, in the case of your audience, Richard, for the museum and the visitors, and how they're really delivering on the mission of the organization, because that's often the piece that is lost. And that's been a big focus of my work this year.
Yeah, so to that point, Elisa, so if we sort of ask this question, well, why is it important to measure strategic impact? I'm wondering, from your experience and some of your work, what different ways have you found that measuring strategic impact can be shown to be important?
Yeah, well, you know, I think for many of us, we don't really have any good quantifiable way of demonstrating the great things that our volunteers do for our programs. We have some measures. We can provide and often do provide information on things like the number of volunteers we have, the number of hours they serve. Oftentimes we multiply that by the dollar equivalent of their time to demonstrate in an in-kind way how much an organization is receiving in valuable service from their volunteers. Those are good statistics to have. have them. In many ways, they are necessary statistics, but they don't really explain exactly what your volunteers did that improved life for your clients, for your visitors, and so forth. For example, you could have a large number of volunteers and report out that the number of volunteers in your program grew exponentially over the previous year. That doesn't tell you, that's really a quantity over quality issue. That doesn't tell you what the volunteers did when they were on site. Were they just sitting around, or were they, you know, actively assisting? And so instead, you want to look for some measures that are going to explain that to important audiences, such as your management, your board, the larger community. For many organizations I know, explaining what volunteers do to corporate groups is important, for example. So that's what I like to help volunteer managers develop, are different measures that get more at the actual benefit that is received, the actual result of the volunteer activity for the organization. And I think it's important for volunteer managers because I think for most people who aren't actively working with volunteers, it's very difficult for them to wrap their head around exactly what the impact is of a volunteer program. Because there are no norms out there for doing this. You know, I love to draw an analogy to the development offices in our organization. It's very easy to measure success in development, right? Because it's all numbers. You know, if you're raising more money, that's terrific. Much harder to do when you're talking about people and their input.
So what are some of the effective measures that you've developed in your work that really help to sort of measure the strategic impact of volunteers?
Yeah, I cannot point to exact measures. I can't give you a list of measures. And that's because it's going to vary quite a bit depending on the nature of the volunteer role, depending on the mission of the organization, and depending on, strategically how the volunteers are folding into that mission. And I can give you some examples of that. For example, this week I was at one of the Smithsonian Museums here in Washington, D.C., where I live, helping them come up with some impact measures. And to do that, the process begins with something that some of your listeners may be familiar with. It's called the logic model. Logic model is a very basic matrix. It's often used for grant reporting, for example. And it's a matrix that walks a reader through all the different components that lead to positive change. And so what I did this week with my volunteer managers at the museum was help them create a logic model for their volunteer roles. And to do that, you need to start at the very top. You need to start with the strategic plan of the organization. Because ultimately, your goal is to demonstrate how your volunteers are actually carrying out the work of the strategic plan. So to give you one example of one of the volunteer roles, and I'm sure it's a very common one for your listeners, is a volunteer docent role. And we were trying to figure out, well, exactly what does success look like when you have a volunteer docent? And the answer to that question, first of all, depends on what is the strategic priority that the volunteers are helping to deliver on. So, for example, let's say the strategic priority is to deepen visitor engagement in the collections of the museum. Then you have to ask yourself, okay, what do docents do that deepens visitor engagement, and actually, how would you measure that? So, and of course, I'm giving you the short version of how this all works, but it led to a very interesting conversation because we decided, well, it probably has something to do with the quality of the tour that the docent gives. And so then we had to ask ourselves, okay, so how do you measure the quality of the tour? Is it by the length of a tour? Shall we be measuring how long the tours are, and if tours become longer, is that an indicator of more success in deepening visitor engagement within the museum? And after some back and forth discussion, we decided that no, that was not the best measure, that in fact, sometimes a shorter tour might be a better indicator. And so what we landed on was really the dropout rate within a tour. We determined that, you know, an illustration of a tour being effective would be one in which the docent does not lose people as he or she is moving through the museum. And so once we landed on that as an indicator of success, then we had to figure out, well, exactly how are we going to measure that? You know, what are we going to ask our docents to do so that they are tracking the dropout rate? What is that very practically going to look like? Are they going to take a tally of all the tours at the beginning of the tour and at the end and compare those two numbers? That may be a valid way to do it. Or is there another way? Or is this process just too cumbersome, and do we need to think of a different way to measure them? So as you go through this impact measures process, what you'll find is it's bringing up a lot of questions as you go along. But some of them are sort of lofty and strategic about, you know, what does success look like? And some are very practical, as in, how are we actually going to collect this data? And what's the simplest system that we can put in place?
Well, and I think that you're absolutely right as well. When you say that you can't just list, you know, effective measures because it depends on the nature of the role, I think that's so true. And even just within the subset of volunteer managers who work in museums, which is our AAMV members, you know, every museum is different, its size, its scope, its volunteer roles. What a tour looks like at a science museum might be very different from what it looks like at a small history museum. And so when we factor in all of those factors, and then we also say, okay, well, success for one museum might not be the same thing as success for another, you know, we're looking at very, very different sort of measures that might measure how important and impactful our volunteers are.
So, that's right. That's exactly right. And in fact, this week, as we were working on the impact measures, I gave the group for practice the strategic plan from an art museum in another state. And their strategic plan was written quite differently, and one of their strategic priorities was to reach out to and try to recall exactly how it was worded, but it was something like reach out to specific defined groups. So in that case, clearly important to that museum that they reach out to particular groups. And so then your measures of success have more to do with who you're reaching rather than the experience of the individual volunteers as they're working through the museum. So you are exactly right. There are all kinds of variables that can impact what impact measures look like. And even within the community of museums, every museum and every volunteer program is going to be slightly different.
Absolutely. So given that, how would you say, are there any general themes or ideas that our listeners should think about as they begin to consider how to create measures?
Well, what I can do is sort of generally walk you through the process. I think that's the best way to get someone's thinking going. And, you know, without having the visuals, since we're doing this by radio, imagine that you have this logic model matrix before you. In one of the columns to the left, you're going to be listing these volunteer activities that your volunteers do, such as providing tours, perhaps being an ambassador who greets visitors, within the museum, or a volunteer at the front desk. So you're going to start there. And then you're going to consider what they call the outputs. So what are the different kinds of things that you can count that go into those activities? So, for example, if you're talking about a front desk volunteer, things you can count are the number of volunteers who take that position or are needed in that position, the number of shifts, the number of visitors who come to the front desk and ask questions. Those are all outputs. Those are all countable things. But those are not in themselves the impact measures. But those are things you can count that will help lead to an impact measure. And then you need to decide, okay, we know what our outputs are. We know what the activity is. What is it about the activity that that helps to support the mission or a particular strategic priority within our museum. So if we go back to the strategic priority of enriching the visitor experience within the museum, you can ask yourself, okay, how does a front desk volunteer help enrich the visitor experience? And then this is going to be a very, very simple explanation, far more simplistic than I know actually occurs. But let's say for some reason there's a museum that doesn't offer maps and floor plans of the museum with the exhibits. Then you may be tracking something as simple as how many maps are provided and how many maps are taken. And one thing I should mention, which I haven't mentioned yet, is that, you know, in order to come up with these indicators of success, you're going to have to make some assumptions. So, for example, with what I'm just sharing about a front desk volunteer and providing information about the layout of the museum, we're making the assumption that if a visitor does not have, if the visitor does not know how to get around the museum and does not know how to navigate it, their experience of the collections is going to be negatively impacted. So then perhaps we might want to track the number of people who take a nap. Or we might want to track something like the number of people who have a map and still ask questions. And what we want to see for an outcome is perhaps a decrease in the number of people who have to ask questions. Because if that number decreases, that may tell us that our map is extremely detailed and full of information, and there is no need for the visitor to ask further questions. So that would be one example.
I like that a whole lot. What do you see when you're working through this process with your clients? What do you see as some of the common challenges that volunteer managers encounter as they start to think about developing measures?
Yeah, the biggest challenge is really figuring out what those indicators of success are. And I think that's only because this is often a new process for volunteer managers. Perhaps they haven't worked with a logic model before, so the whole notion of indicators is new. And thinking about volunteer roles in this way, and asking yourself the question, okay, just what is it that our volunteers do that demonstrates success, and how do we measure that, can be actually a pretty tricky process until you get the hang of it. Once you get the hang of it, it becomes much easier to come up with measures. But, when we come into our roles, like, you know, perhaps we're handed a position description, there are already volunteers in these roles, and our job is much more immediate in day-to-day. We're focused on implementation. We're focused on recruiting new volunteers. We're focused on taking care of the volunteers who are already in the program and so forth. We're very focused on maintaining our systems and making sure that everything is working smoothly. We don't always have the luxury of taking the time to think about, okay, what is it really that our volunteers are doing that is so special? I mean, we know that from our experience, and certainly we know that anecdotally from talking to our volunteers. They often share stories with us that we can tell are very moving and describe impact. And by the way, those stories are also a part of the process of explaining impact to stakeholders. But we don't always, as I said, have this luxury of really thinking about what exactly is it that our volunteers are doing that is so special and so important for our organization. So even though perhaps the goal of creating impact measures is to create data that we can share with others, one reason I love this process is because it also challenges our thinking, and it allows us to expand our own understanding of what our volunteers do.
So what would you say to someone who does say, well, this all sounds great, but I don't have time to do this. I've got all these events coming up. I've got all these tours coming up. You know, I don't have time to pause and put this all in place. What would your sort of response to that be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really glad you asked that one. It's a great question because it's such a real question. I have come to realize there are actually very few organizations out there where the volunteer programs track volunteer impact for that reason. They're so busy. And I even wrote a blog post on that topic. If listeners want to go to my website, pointyhats.com, and type in impact measures, you'll see a blog post where I sort of outline my case for taking the time to go through this process, even though you are busy. There's no question. It's an investment. It means you have to table other important things you're doing and carve out some time to get this done. I would argue that that investment of your time and your brain power and your effort will pay off in so many ways for you down the road, because you'll have the data you need to get the things you need for your program. For example, it may help you expand your budget for your volunteer program. It may help you make the case for more staffing. It may even make the case for a raise for yourself if you have more data that demonstrates just how valuable your volunteers are. So to me, even though it can often be an inconvenience to carve out the time to go through this process, it's absolutely worth it. I do have a webinar. It's coming up in October, and it's all about preparing for successful volunteer impact measures session. And I'll go through a lot of this information that we're talking about and have some visuals. And we'll also spend some time debating the difference between running this kind of session yourself or hiring an outside facilitator to do it. Because, depending on your time and availability and your know-how, one option may be better than another. And I love to see volunteer managers fully supplied with all of the information they need to make good decisions.
Well, so that leads me perfectly to my next question, which is, so when you have developed effective measures and you have the outcomes and you've analyzed your data, how do you use that? How would one use that? And I guess there's sort of two parts to that. One would be when you're going to your decision makers, whether it's your management or your board, and then the other would be in relation to improving your volunteer program.
Yeah, those are excellent questions. That's the beauty of this data. It can be used in so many different ways. In an ideal world, I would love to see the director of a volunteer program be able to take this data to a board meeting and report out to board members and then inform them on what exactly volunteers do for an organization. Certainly, depending on how your program is organized as far as operations and as far as internal meetings, I would love to see this kind of data shared on a regular basis, perhaps quarterly, with certainly your supervisor or other decision makers. Ideally, it would be folded into a larger dashboard of performance indicators for an organization. And along those lines, I would like to mention that I do know of another museum here in Washington, D.C., where the entire visitor services department went through this impact measures process, so that staff also developed impact measures for what they did alongside and in tandem with the ones for volunteers, so that it was very clear that volunteers and staff are working together to reach larger goals. So that's something I would also encourage. So certainly using data in that way is important. I would love to see, and I may create a webinar on this eventually, I would love to see volunteer management programs start to come up with an annual report, for example, an annual impact report on their volunteer programs. Not so different from, the larger annual report that nonprofits produce. And within that annual report, just imagine what you could include. You could include your impact data. You could include testimonials from volunteers or even visitors or staff. You could include some stories, some anecdotal stories of success. You could really mix it up and create, a really vibrant picture of all the terrific things that your volunteers do for your organization. There was one other thing that you had just asked me, Richard, and that was about how the data can help you internally. And that's the other beauty of having impact measures, is that it helps you on a day-to-day basis run your program better. My best example of that is not from the museum world. It's from someone I know who works in a library system. they went through this process, and one of their strategic priorities was to deliver volunteers to staff within a short turnaround time when staff requested a new volunteer. So they decided, so that was an easy indicator of success, right? Their indicator of success was a short turnaround time after a staff person requested a new volunteer. So they started to chart it, and after about 8 years' worth of data, they noticed that every spring their turnaround time became much longer than they wanted. And so, and that was because they started to interview teenagers for their summer reading program. So knowing that, they were able to go back to staff and say, hey, look, we need your request for volunteers before March, because come March, we're not going to be able to deliver someone to you in a timely fashion. So all of a sudden, they're being much more proactive and running their program a little more efficiently than they were before. And those kinds of tweaks to the program can happen everywhere when you start to measure impact. They can happen with your onboarding process. They can happen with your application process, and so forth.
I love that so much. So you mentioned the webinar that you're doing in October. Tell us a little bit about that, and also what other resources do you have and that you know that are out there that can help our listeners thinking about developing ways to measure their strategic impact to their volunteers?
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned, my webinar will be coming up on October 10th. And I will cover everything you need to run a successful volunteer impact measures session. So we'll talk about preparation, who needs to be there, what kinds of documents you need to have. And then I will also walk everyone through the logic model, needless to say. And we will cover the question of, do you want to run this internally, or do you want to hire a facilitator, depending on your needs. So that's the webinar. That's sort of a DIY version of this, quick and dirty. There are some excellent books out there on measuring volunteer impact, and I have to apologize because I don't have the exact name with me right now, but there was one that came out a couple of years ago, which is fabulous, and I believe the name is something like Measuring the Impact of Your Volunteer Program. I'm sure that's not exactly right, but it's close. I'm happy to send you the information in follow-up, but that's a terrific book as a resource. And I believe if you want to energize Inc., if everyone is familiar with Energize, that's a big clearinghouse for volunteer management information, and do a search on volunteer impact measures, you'll probably find some other great resources.
Well, wonderful. Well, Alisa, thank you so much for taking time to speak about this with us, and we're really excited to continue sharing your work and your expertise with our volunteer management community.
Yeah, sure thing. Always happy to speak with your community. If anyone has specific questions and wants to reach me, my email address is Alisa, which is E-L-I-S-A, at 20 hats, those are two words spelled out, no spaces, and so forth, .com. So Alisa at 20hats.com, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Alisa, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Okay, sure thing. Happy to speak again.
Once again, thank you so much for your support for the American Association for Museum Volunteers, and we strongly encourage you to visit aamv.org and see all of the members-only content that you can access there. Until the next episode of Volunteer Voices, have a great day.